Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's a Hard Knicks Live. It is a Hard Knicks Live. A Hard Knicks Live. Oh, it's a Hard Knicks Live.
Knicks fucking win, you motherfuckers.
What up, Knicks fans? What a start to the show. And what is up, Barry motherfucking D?
What is up, Craig?
And good day to Jay, a.k.a. Blanderson Hooper.
Good day to you as well, Craig.
Play that fucking Ralph clip again, Blandy.
Knicks fucking win, you motherfuckers!
That's a new one that's fresh?
That's fresh after the Game 2 win. One of the greatest moments, I think, Knicks fans have experienced in the playoffs. It reminded me of some of my favorite moments back in the day, like the Larry Johnson four-point play, the Reggie Miller game, except it was in fucking reverse. That's not a favorite moment. And guess who is there?
Who?
Our new silent newsman, who, by the way, just bought a silent mouse.
I thought you were
going to
fucking say Carmelo, John Starks, Latrell
no.
Sprewell, LJ.
A bigger star.
Wow. Bernard King was there.
Blanderson Hooper
That's right.
In the house.
I was there.
Did you get excited at all?
Oh, I lost. By the end of the night, I had no voice. I was screaming and yelling the whole time. I mean, it was insane.
Tell folks about these tickets, because I think there's people out there that didn't even know this was a thing.
So Saturday, a friend of mine from work was in the city anyway with her kid, and she got an email saying tickets had just been released for the Garden Deck. They were like two something a piece. And it was all you could eat, food and drinks, just no alcohol. And I was like, oh, son of a bitch, I wish I had known. So I said, well, if it happens for the next game, you got to tell me. So I spoke to her on Monday morning, and she was like, I haven't gotten anything. And then like 30 minutes later, she texted me. She's like, I just got another email. It's again, do you want tickets? At which point I texted the two of you, and Barry was like, no, I'll pass. Lame. And you
was
said,
that the font that I used in my text, bitch?
You said that you just know like you that. Had to go to Seder. And so I snatched up those tickets. It was came to $512 for the two of them, but Garden Deck, it's first come, first serve for seating. So we were there when the doors opened at 6:30. I took my youngest, and it's all you could eat, food and drink. No alcoholic beverages, but like for dinner there was it was prime rib sliders with horseradish sauce. There was cheeseburgers, halibut.
Yeah, that's a sick deal.
Ravioli, salad, a cheese platter, every candy and popcorn you could possibly imagine. Hostess cupcakes and Twinkies and lifesavers.
Yeah, and you just get up and take it.
Every candy
right?
bar you can imagine. Yeah, and then at halftime, they removed all the regular food and they put out dessert, which was these like small little pecan pies, cherry pies.
Wow, look at you.
Cookie and cream cheesecake, strawberry cheesecake, baked by Melissa, little cupcakes. It was fucking insane how much food
how did you find the view?
Was.
The view of the game.
I love the view. It was right. We were right behind the basket. You know, it's like, technically it's like section 305 or something like that. But we got the first row because we were like the second people in there. The view was great. We had a view of everything.
Nice.
Would you say that between all that food and the game and the ending, all those treats, we know how much you love, you know,
food.
You know, you couldn't really do what you really wanted to do to those treats, but I'm sure you enjoyed them. Would you say that that night was the greatest night of your life?
No, I wouldn't say that.
Well, hold on.
No,
back up on that. Was that the best sporting event you've ever been to in your entire life?
I mean, we were at the Patrick Ewing game against the Pacers.
No.
Correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so we were at that. I mean...
Yeah, but all the food. Think about it, Blandy. All the food.
I'm not... I mean, are we talking about... Like, you said sporting event. Like, I'm not...
This reminds me of... Have you seen the Seinfeld episode with George Costanza where he is... he finally realizes that he can eat his favorite foods while he's having sex.
Yes. With well, that's this. Yeah.
And, food and sex. And he's, those are my two passions.
That's from that.
So this is, I feel like that was you at this game. You were.
It was just, it was incredible. I mean, the highs orgasmic, and the lows orgasmic. Were just, you know, and I was explaining, like, I'm trying to explain to my son as the, everybody, you know, they show Sprewell, they show Mello, they show Larry Johnson. I have to explain who everybody is, what they mean in Knicks history. I was showing him videos today of the four-point play and everything. It was spectacular. The guy to the left of us was a Sixer fan, which was a little bit annoying. But fuck that dude. But
I heard your son was disgusted by what you were trying to do to the Baked by Melissa mini cupcakes.
That's not true at all.
But let's I would love to talk about food and
let's
funny
talk about
things.
The game.
But we've talked too much about mini desserts.
Okay.
All right. Can you believe, Barry, what happened at the end of that game?
No.
Finally, as Knicks fans, we got to experience that. I've been dying to experience to just have everything fall our way.
A lot had to
in
fall.
The final moments of the game. I wish I was watching live, but I wasn't.
I can't believe you're still not.
Here I am offering the two of you to come to the game with me. You both say no, and you're not even watching it live.
Let me tell you what happened. First of all, I think I've talked about this. The final few weeks of the season, we've been playing great basketball, but only when I watch the score, the game cast, or the play-by-play on ESPN on my phone, and then I watch the full game after. And we win those games. We win, like, all of those games.
Such a shitty way to fan, though.
So, listen, game one, I couldn't hold back. I had to watch. So, I started watching. But then we got down 17-7. I turned it the fuck off. I started just watching the score on my phone. That wasn't working. So then I turned the game back on.
I can't believe how much power you think you have.
And then that wasn't going well. My son came down. I was in my basement working out while I was watching the game. He came down because he could hear me yelling and shit. Comes down. He sits on the medicine ball. All right? Not a medicine ball. Like one of those crunch balls. Right. Instantly, they start playing well, all right, and building a little bit of a lead. And I don't let him get up from that ball, basically, the rest of, as long as I can.
Fucking okay. Strapping him down to it with some, honey, get me some more rope.
Yesterday, I was wondering why my legs were sore. My legs were sore, especially my thighs, behind my thighs. And I was like, why are my legs sore? And then I realized it's because the whole second half, He was on the ball, made him stay on the ball. He also had to hit it when we were playing defense. I, when we were playing defense, had to stand in a defensive position with my squatting.
Do you
with
have
my
like a
arms
little notepad
up.
Reminding you of all these little stupid shit things you have to do to keep a streak going?
And then when we were on offense, I had to like pretend I was shooting constantly, like this.
This is a sickness.
It really is a sickness. So for game two, I watched the first, we had the Seder at my sister's house, watched the first quarter there. It was not going our way. They kept watching. I said, I'm done. I'm not watching anymore. First half finished. At halftime, we went home. I stayed just looking at my phone. And I'm laying in my bed looking at the phone, trying to cover the text notifications from you, Blandy, because I can't tell if you're ahead of the scores coming into my phone or behind. You're saying things like, fuck, at the end of the game. And I'm like, fuck, did we just lose? Is he 5 minutes ahead of me? I don't fucking know. Right. But I'm covering. And when we went down five, I was like, fuck, this is over.
Listen, the entire arena thought the game was over.
You felt it through the TV. The last few minutes of that game, from like 3 minutes or so and under, you just felt the air get sucked out of the Garden. I felt it at home. It was like hopeless. I'm staring at the Sixers team featuring Embiid and Maxey on the floor, and the Knicks have nobody because Brunson's not himself, and he hasn't been. So it's like, how are the Knicks going to beat this MVP, Joel Embiid, this guy, Tyrese Maxey, we just found out became NBA's, you know, most improved player this year and how great he's been playing. The Knicks have, you know, they're not going to win this game. And they're doing nothing now. And then all of a sudden, you know, you asked me how I felt when that sequence went down. But in the blink of an eye, you know, in 20, 25 seconds, all of a sudden from down five, now we're up. And I'm just in my living room. I've got Trey in there. He's watching with me, my son. And then I have my brother-in-law is with us. And I'm just saying, I'm yelling at them. What the hell just happened? What the fuck just happened?
See,
I couldn't believe it. It was unbelievable. I'm smacking the wall, everything.
At least on the TV, you probably had a better, like, you had a better angle of what was going on. Like, I had no clue what was happening those final few seconds.
Yeah, you just probably saw bodies falling on the floor.
Because we were behind the net, so we didn't have a side view. And, like, I turned to him at one point, because, you know, we were up 90 to 82, and then they went on, like, an 18-6 run or whatever. And at one point, with about 45 seconds left, I turned to him and I said, we're losing this game, bud. It's over. And then, Craig, I told you about this. I was like, all right, there's a 10:23 train. I said, we're going to, no matter what, the game's going to be over. I said, why don't you put your jacket on? I'll get mine on. So that way we're ready. As soon as the buzzer sounds, we could just get up and get out of here. And so he puts his on and I put mine on. And then I was like, wait a minute, what am I doing? I'm like, we haven't been wearing our jackets all game. I said, take your jacket off. He's like, I just put my jacket on. I said, take your jacket off. I'm taking mine off. We haven't had them on the whole game. So he took it off.
Hold on. When you put on the jacket, as a superstition expert, that's me, by the way. And by the way, now we're going back to the version of me that was that watched the game, because I did go back and watch the game. Okay. I don't want to not be able to talk about any of this shit.
Of course.
Because I want to be in character. But now I'm out of character. I watched the game. When you put the jacket on, they were losing, and then you put the jacket on, so you didn't think,
no,
hey,
because I hadn't had it on all game long, and I was like, I'm not going to mess with.
But the game was up and down, up and down.
Listen.
But we were loose, but we were down when you put the jacket
on. Excuse me. Listen.
But you said, I'm going to take it off.
I took it off, and I was like, forget it.
That's weird. You're weird.
I said, the game is not over. The game is not over. I'm not worrying about running out of here. And it was so... From in the building, it was so chaotic. Like, it looked like there were 30 different fouls on that play. I had no idea who had the ball at any moment in time. And when the shot went down, everybody went fucking insane. It was like an explosion inside the arena. It was spectacular. I've never experienced anything like that before. The elation to go from sadness...
Shaking?
To elation in like a span of like 5 seconds, 10 seconds, it was crazy.
The only other time I've heard you use spectacular is talking about food, but that was spectacular.
Right, same.
To be there with it, my son just kept saying to my wife today, it's a day it's a night I won't ever forget. Like, it was just, I mean, to just be able to share that with everybody else.
I won't forget either. I had sex twice last night, just in tribute to the double bang.
With yourself?
Like I think April 22nd, everybody should have sex twice.
You mean with yourself, right?
No. That wouldn't be
you,
a bang.
Who are you, Ho-to-pay? You Ho-to-pay?
Yeah, well, I you know.
You should, it was you're like, worthy. Listen, wife.
Look, Mike Breen so doesn't give the double bang. Or, you know, just any game.
I've got that whole sequence if you want to relive it.
Let's relive it, yeah.
All right, here we go.
I mean, how many times did you relive it?
5 million.
Quite a few.
On the train ride home, it's all we kept doing. We just kept watching it. The same thing with all the other people on the
train. I would show anybody who would let me show them, even people I didn't think were into basketball.
Everybody on the train was just rewatching it and rewatching it.
And by the way, after you play, there's so much to get into. We'll talk about the 2-minute fucking report.
Oh, yeah. This podcast is like sipping a nice glass of wine. Like, we're not, you know, rushing it.
There's so much to talk about. I mean, I don't want to be here for 3 hours, but... There's a lot to get to. Blandy, just play it one last time. Let's
enjoy. Hart back to Brunson. Brunson double team, splits the defense. Lowry takes it away, picked up by DiVincenzo. 8 on the 24, DiVincenzo corner to Brunson. Sidestep, three-pointer, shot. It's good! Took the bounce and went in. Two-point game. Ball knocked loose. And Maxey gets knocked down. Hart takes it away. Out top to DiVincenzo. His shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
Just absolutely unbelievable. Insane.
By the way, I always do this. But I said you were the new silent Blanderson Hooper at the top of the show and didn't even explain.
Oh, yeah.
Landy finally purchased a silent mouse. So no, we don't have to listen to that double click, that annoying double click from Blandy anymore. Is it not great playing these clips without that, Barry?
Yeah.
Is it really that big of a deal?
Yeah.
It is.
It was like somebody tapping a pencil on the inside of my skull.
It takes you long enough to gather yourself to click, and then you finally do the double click. It's extremely annoying.
Okay.
But Nick Nurse, after the game, getting pissed off because he was claiming that he was trying to call a timeout during the inbounds.
I get and that then too, if you want.
Claiming that he was trying to call a timeout when Tyrese went down with the ball. Yeah, play that, Blandy.
Well, the first thing is, obviously, they score. We take a look at getting it in quick. We don't get it in quick. I call timeout.
Sure you did, buddy.
Referee looked right at me, ignored me. Went into Tyrese. I called timeout again.
Yeah.
Then the melee started. And, yeah, I mean, I guess I got to run out onto the floor or do something to make sure and get his attention. But I needed a timeout there to advance it. Would have been good, but couldn't get it.
Cry harder, bitch. Cry harder.
So you guys watched the clip? He was...
Yeah.
He couldn't decide what he wanted to do.
He kind of had his hands in position to call timeout.
Right, so the first one he's talking about, exactly that. It's like he was like kind of half calling timeout.
He was like half pregnant there.
The other one he mentions.
We obviously, before you continue, we can't hear if he's yelling it or whatever. But it looked like.
Right, it looks like he was waiting to do it.
Is this a technicality? Like,
do your hands have to touch? Do they have to touch?
Do they have to touch? They seem to be separate. There seemed to be some distance between them.
They're perpendicular.
But it seemed like I think who said this? Perez?
Yeah, Rob Perez.
Rob Perez. He was saying that to him, it looked like. He was trying to call. It was about to call a timeout. If he thought if they were going to hit 5 seconds,
yeah, he wasn't committing to the timeout. And then the second one that he was referring to, he was giving the signal after Maxie had already lost the ball.
Right, he didn't have possession. So it doesn't matter. You know, and he's
yet somehow the 2 minute report guys that came out today, which I don't know. I feel like that whole thing is a fake, corrupt thing that we shouldn't even pay attention to anymore. But. That said that he did try to call timeout, and he should have been granted a timeout call.
Right.
What are they looking at?
I don't know. But yet they completely ignored the fact that Maxie used two hands to push off a Hart just to get open in the first place to try and get the ball in without the 5 seconds.
And they completely ignored the fact that when Hartenstein got that rebound, and thankfully he didn't get a foul call against him, but they fucking raped him under there.
Amazing that he was able to get that ball out.
Well, because did you notice that Embiid spent that, he boxed out Josh Hart because Josh Hart has been such an animal on the boards. That's who he was focused on. If you watch the replay, he was focused on boxing out Hart, which allowed Hartenstein to just walk right in there basically and grab that ball.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the hustle that it's hustle that has gotten them a 2-0 lead in this series. In that game one, the end of that game two, right? The Hart threes, obviously. But Hart racing for that rebound right under Embiid to seal up game one, towards the end of game one. Yeah, Hartenstein getting that board here in game two. Deuce McBride ripping the ball out of Maxie's hands.
Yeah, bunch of pansies. They can't
Mitchell
hold on
Robinson
to the ball.
Ripping the ball from Embiid to force that jump ball in game one.
It really
just
has
hustle plays.
It really has felt like a 2-game series so far of just who wants it more. And you just constantly feel like the Knicks want it more because the talent on the other side, you know, in Philadelphia is greater than the Knicks. It just is, especially with Brunson where he's at. But all things being equal, you know, with Embiid, Maxie, and then the other guys that are filled around him, they've got a really good team, great defensive team. The fact that the Knicks are doing what they're doing in these last two games, it's coming down to them just wanting it more.
Yeah, it's just grit.
Do you really think they have more talent? I mean, I don't think they have more talent in the supporting cast. Well, sure, Embiid and Maxey are better than our two top guys. We have Brunson and nobody.
Listen, Oubre, Tobias Harris. What, I mean, you know, those.
Yeah,
Tobias Harris. Would you rather have Hart than Oubre?
Yeah, look, the reason we love our guys is what we're saying, and it's not evaluating them on talent alone. It's more about the heart that they have. You know, every guy in this rotation, again, Bogey, I wouldn't put in there. To be quite frank, he's doing quite well.
He hit a couple of big threes yesterday.
It's exactly why we got him, you know, for what he's doing. But you take the other top seven guys in this rotation that are playing right now, and every single one of them gives everything they have, every single possession, so much heart and grit and toughness, which is what in my eyes makes it, you know, so easy to love this team and love these guys and what they're doing. And I think that's the reason what's made the difference. Again, all of these hustle plays, and the Knicks are just so smart, so focused. You know, Thibodeau's coached them so well that, you know, in these high pressure situations, they always seem, you know, to be doing the right thing.
Well, but speaking of that, just coaching so well in those situations, I read a Fred Katz article on The Athletic today where, like, they practice, like, that kind of crazy shit at the end of the game. Like, when somebody, like, gets a rebound, the idea is that somebody is supposed to cut to the corner, which is what Anunoby kind of did with Hartenstein. So Hartenstein knew that somebody would probably be there. He threw the ball out to him. You know, it's DiVincenzo's job to just make sure that he's somewhere behind the arc. Like, they practice for that kind of crazy end of the game situation. They said that Thibodeau has them doing stuff like that every practice. So, you know, it looks chaotic to us, but they've gone over it so many times and gone through so many different iterations of it that they're prepared and they're calm when stuff like that happens.
Yeah,
well, it's great to hear they're prepared for the chaos, because they're not prepared for just a fucking regular inbounds play. It is scary.
I don't think, though, Tom, you know, to everything you just said, I don't think Tom Thibodeau is getting enough credit here. You know, you hear everything else about all the other guys have been stepping up, but I mean, the way he's been coaching, you know, we said it all season long, but specifically between these two games, has been, you know, nothing short of spectacular, to use Blandy's favorite adjective.
We'll talk about him later, Thibodeau.
Okay, but like, the fact that, like, he's got such a good, I feel he's got such a good connection to this team and such a great sense of what the game needs. You know, in game one, when he was sticking with Mitchell Robinson and Deuce McBride, and he had Hartenstein and Dante on the bench more, especially to close out those games, he had the total sense on that. And then in game two, to do it the other way, playing Hartenstein and sitting Robinson, and then closing out with Dante and not McBride. And it's not just as easy as, well, you know, this guy had it going tonight, and that's why he did it. Anybody could see to do that. Because it's not just that, because you've seen it in the past where a lot of coaches will lean on the guys that have gotten there before, not necessarily in that moment, in that game.
And he used to do that, by the way.
Yeah, he did. So the thing here is that, you know, he trusts all his guys equally, and he really has been able to pinpoint, you know, the strings to pull, you know, for this team.
And I think part of that is that they are that deep, and they have guys that are basically interchangeable. They're all good quality players, so... Who cares if it's McBride or Dante out there at the end of the game?
I don't think it matters.
They're both good on both ends of the ball. It's whoever feels is better at the moment.
The fact that you have a team now where, look, I need to get some juice going, some offense going here, and you make a substitution, and now you're not giving anything up on defense for that, because you know every player you have is a defensive asset, you know, with the exception of Brunson, who, you know, we know typically he's going to make up for it on the offensive end anyway. It's such a great luxury that Thibodeau has at his disposal.
Just think about, again, and I know I said this once before, but think about how the day of that trade, when they signed McBride to that 3-year, $11 million deal, and we were all like, what the fuck was that about? Like, what are they doing? Yes. I mean, that is going to be such a huge-ass bargain if he could keep playing like this or even improve on this. I mean, he's every time he touches the ball, everybody in the stadium is yelling Deuce. I mean, for $11 million, like you said, Barry, Dante sat, I think, the whole fourth quarter in the first game.
And it's not like he was having a bad game. He just wasn't putting up a lot of shots.
And there was no drop off at all. Now, he didn't have the same kind of game. Game one, he was what, plus 37, I think you were telling me?
Yeah, Deuce McBride in like 20, he was minus eight, 20 minutes.
I think last night.
Or just under 21 minutes.
But still, like he hit some big big buckets in the second half.
Yeah.
Towards the end of the season, you know, he was playing a ton of minutes and he was getting a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the injuries. I forget who posted them and I don't have the exact five-man rotations, but one of the Twitter, whatever, NBA Central or something, was posting the top five-man rotations in the NBA with a minimum certain number of games. And he was, the Knicks had two of the top five, I think, and he was in one of them. I mean, he is, when he's on the court, I mean, it's clear to me that they play better. Especially when he's out there with OG and Hart and all that defensive plays out there.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, the defensive intensity when it's Hart and it's McBride and DiVincenzo and Ananobi and Hartenstein or Robinson, it's like, I mean, those are all really, really good defenders. I mean, it's,
yeah, and you know they swarm to the ball. You know they like to put two on the ball when it, you know, either goes to Embiid or Maxey, and it's like whenever they do that, they always recover so quickly. You know, when that guy gets rid of the ball, now they got to reset. The rotation is always there, and there's rarely a gap. You know, where you're going to have a guy open because the next guy's always in there to recover. They're so keen, and their instinct is so keen on doing that stuff.
Meanwhile, talking about defense, I mean, Brunson has been bottled up by Philly.
Oh, yeah.
With Oubre.
I didn't realize Kelly Oubre was such a good defender. It's not just his length on Brunson. He's a pest, and he's very good defender. I mean, the whole team really is.
Well, both him and Batum are so much, they're so much bigger than Brunson. And they're bodying him, and he can't do anything. He's shooting
horribly. But Brunson's played against bigger guards before, and he's had success. Where he's been able to shake him.
Hopefully moving to game three and being in Philly, maybe a change of scenery, maybe being back, you know, the Nova boys being back in their old stomping grounds. I'm just hoping that Brunson can snap out of this.
Yeah.
Because we're up 2-0, but we're lucky to be up 2-0.
Hey, who knows? Maybe that basket did it.
Philly's
at the end of the game.
Pissed,
yeah,
by
maybe
the way.
That basket did it. Maybe. Philly. It was the fact that that shot went in.
You got that roll, you know? That bounce.
Yeah.
I played that Nick Nurse crying little piece. You want the Joel Embiid? I have Joel.
Oh, Joel Embiid, sure.
Yeah, I know. And yeah, did you see that
where LeBron or no?
No, I don't have that where he was complaining about his game and then he said he heard something about the Nick. Fuck off, dude. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, dude, keep the Knicks out of your fucking mouth, LeBron. Right. You didn't want to play here, so you can't talk about it.
You blew like a 20-point lead. Don't, please, get rid of it.
What are they doing tonight? Are they losing?
They're not playing tonight. No.
Oh.
Here's
Embiid. They played the same night as us.
Acceptable. I mean, Tyrese got fouled, you know, a couple times. You know, we just had the same thing happen against Miami with Tyler Hero. That's just unacceptable to, you know, put us in that situation. That's
is this what Embiid sounds like? I don't know if I ever realized
like this, especially in the playoffs. So, I mean, yeah.
It's got an accent.
I thought you were going to play the other clip where he said they're going to win the series.
No,
they're the better team.
I wanted him crying. I wanted him crying. I wanted him being a baby.
What's up with his eyes, Joel Embiid? What's going on there?
I see
they said he's got some kind of sensitivity with his eyes or something. That's why if you noticed like Charles Barkley ripped him for, I guess, his demeanor during that press at his locker because his head was down the whole time and he was covering his face. But I read he's having an issue with sensitivity to light or something. And that's why he was doing that.
He was covering his face with his jersey, and it wasn't just because of the sweat. He was doing it like before the game. He was doing it all the time.
Yeah, so
times.
He must be having an issue.
Can he play with like some sort of special eyewear that like is dark, like
goggles or
that
something?
That has like a shade, really knows, like tinted glasses?
Depending on what it is he's dealing with.
Well, he's certainly dealing with a lot. I mean, I got a lot of respect. I never really liked Joel Embiid. I respected his game. He's got a tremendous amount of skill. You're seeing all that. But I just respect him for, you know,
listen,
playing
he's hobbled
the way
out there.
He is.
He's limping around the whole
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly, both games, he slowed down towards the end of the game. But still, the fact that he could go 36 and a half minutes in game one and 39 minutes in game two, still standing and still putting up numbers. I mean, 34, 10, and 6 he had in that game two. So he's doing his thing. I mean, on one leg, essentially. You got to respect it.
You guys want to play some voicemails? I'm sure the voicemails will lead us down some ways that we haven't talked about yet.
I do want to say at some point I want to get to, did you see when Brunson, DiVincenzo, and Hart were interviewed after the game in the presser? Because I've got some sound for that. I want to make sure.
All right, let's play that after voicemails.
Okay, so let's go. Here we go.
This route, my birthday was yesterday. I'm 67 years old. It was sandwiched in between two Knick victories. What a wonderful birthday for me. Even though other things are not so good, this was good.
A little bit of joy in Ralph's life. That's good.
Happy
to hear.
Birthday,
yeah,
Ralph.
Happy birthday,
yeah,
Ralph.
Happy birthday.
I like to think that Janie kind of popped that ball out of Maxie's hands at the end of the game. Had something to do there. Right? Nice. Did you see that? Like, how'd that happen? Just like popped up in the air.
There you go. All right. Next one.
Holy shit, guys. It's Otepe calling after game two. I can't believe what I just saw. That was incredible. And, wow. Holy shit. So awesome. You know, again, Brunson, just they shut him down, but everybody else stepped up. And, you know, for him to have to struggle like this, I think is a good thing if they get further into this playoffs. Because this is like a whole team effort, man. It's not just him carrying it. And that's awesome for everybody. Jeez. Incredible. What an unbelievable win. I love this team. I love you guys. Talk on Thursday. Adios. Put the payout.
That is true. Brunson carried us to the two seed, like barely a two seed, right? That's what's interesting. Like, two through seven is so tight. It's almost silly to even consider us a two seed. But he carried us to the playoffs, and now the rest of the team is carrying him a little bit.
A lot of it.
Which I don't know if that's good or bad, but it is.
Carrying. How about,
you know.
I know. Everybody's saying it's good. And yeah, you can turn it into a positive, you know, as far as the series go, but it's still a negative for Brunson, no matter how.
Yeah, I feel a lot more comfortable with a 2-0 lead if Brunson could fucking shoot over 25% in a game.
Yeah.
He shot worse in the second game.
How about Josh Hart, though, filling up the slack? 22
Unreal.
Points in game one, 21 points in game two. Let me ask you guys
boards.
A question. Let me ask you guys a question. How many times this season did Josh Hart score 20 or more?
Zero.
Once.
No, it wasn't zero, but it was three times. Okay. But think about that. Three times in 81 games that he played, and here he's done it in both playoff games.
And I think, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but the entire regular season, he never had four threes, right? And then games one and two, he had four or more threes, right? Did he have? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Did you hear the story about how he flew in his shooting coach?
I heard he flew in somebody to do his braids.
No, I did hear a story that...
maybe, I'm serious, though. I'm totally serious.
Maybe
from
it's
Louisiana.
His hair guy slash
maybe
shooting
he
guy.
Is the hair slash shooting guy. But he supposedly flew in his shooting coach...
Get the
coach
fuck out of here.
...because he knew...
What a job you'd have, though, dude. You know, all the busy schedules these guys have, and it's like, the guy who does my braids is the same guy that's helped me with my fucking free throws? Holy shit, that is a fucking... That would be a high-paying job, man.
Well...
To have your son go into that.
He's focused on the threes and it's working out. Thank God.
Yeah.
Who's up next, Blandy?
All right, here we go.
Hey, fellas, it's DB. Just walking my fucking dog. I cannot believe what I'm watching with these Knicks. I think when you really break it down, you see Joel Embiid and Maxey playing their fucking faces off. I know Embiid is like... what, 75% of Embiid? But still, 75% of Embiid is really good. And they're playing their faces off. Jalen Brunson is getting the treatment that Julius Randle had when he was first in the playoffs.
Can I just ask a quick question? Is playing their faces off, is that a saying?
It's usually playing their ass off.
Right.
Is the
but
saying.
He clearly said playing their faces off, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Not a question. Sounds good.
I'm just
curious. I mean, I didn't...
means 100% of the defense is paying attention to him, and he's struggling, and the Knicks are still winning. And it's because of the team. It's a masterfully constructed team when you look at it. You know, game one, Deuce McBride, Mitchell Robinson, these are the big names we're talking about. Game two, now you're talking about other guys. You know, you're talking about Hartenstein. You're talking about DiVincenzo. So it's really crazy. It just warms my heart as a kid of the 90s to see John Starks, Latrell Sprewell, Carmelo Anthony hugging it out, going crazy on the sidelines. It's amazing. If you guys are still doing the Clyde thing, the other night he called a chua a churro, like a Mexican pastry.
No.
Barry, you missed that?
I didn't catch that one.
Oh, man.
Should have sent that to me, DB.
We do have the game tonight, but...
By the way, I fuck...
Yeah, we should play it now because it's very similar to the... What was it? A churro?
Wait, will you have that?
No, we have him screwing up another Knicks name, but it's a Nick, so we should know it.
Play it.
Well, do you want the music?
I can never tell when Blandy's doing stuff because of the no double click. It's very difficult.
Do you want the music, or
Jesus
you just want
Christ.
The?
Yeah, just play the fucking music. The good one, spitting not this rhymes, one, but piece of shit.
Well, this is just again.
Walk Clyde, misnaming guys, wearing funny ties. That's Walk Clyde, spitting rhymes, nonsense sometimes. That's Walk Clyde, misnaming guys, wearing funny ties. That's Walk Clyde.
Provocative.
All right, so we got two here.
And you would think by game
Evan 80... Oakley was the catalyst, forcing turnovers, getting the three balls going.
I missed that. Can we play that again?
Here we go.
Was that the whole
thing?
Yeah,
I'll pull it back a little, so that way there's a
Barry's
little bit
trying
of
to say something, and you're just powering over him.
Barry,
I was going to say, by game 82, you would think he would know the name of a starting player.
I mean, you know, he hasn't been here all year, so...
Give him that, I guess.
Seven here in the third. Was the catalyst, forcing turnovers, getting the three balls going.
And then in the same quarter.
That was a mixture of Ananobi and the character from School of Rock, Mr. Schneebly. Ananobli? No.
Ananobli. He put an L on there.
Then we got this one.
And he'll shoot free throws. Ananobli defiant now going to the basket.
Yeah,
he did it three times in the same quarter, Craig.
We don't have the third one, but we do. We had
he
two
did
of
it
them.
Three separate times in the fourth quarter of that Chicago Bulls final
and
masterpiece of a game.
All right, back to the voicemails.
What's up, guys? This is Devin from Long Island calling from St. Louis. I had to wake up this morning and pinch myself because of just the everything that happened last night. It feels like a dream. But I just want to say, let's go Knicks. Can't stay complacent. Plenty of teams have came back from 0-2. We really got out of that one by the skin of our teeth. It was a gift from the basketball gods. And we just have to stay focused, think of the next game. And for anyone that can't understand Barry's phone call jingle, I mean,
jingle.
How young are you? I mean, 33 mesh one. That's pretty damn simple. So, yeah, call in, everybody. Let's go Knicks.
Thank you, Devin.
I mean, that's why we paid to get those digits. Come on. How lucky is that, by the way?
Right.
But everyone hates it, except for Devin. Devin likes it.
Next one.
Man, Devin from Long Island man. I'm just thinking about how many dudes on our team stepped up, and we were put in the position we were in. We have Isaiah hitting those funky lefty floaters all night. I've never seen a center hit floaters like that, especially a lefty. He was hitting them all night. DiVincenzo coming in clutch. I mean, what a team we have. It really gets to a question of what we're doing with our centers when it, you know, come the end of the season, because right now, Mitch and Isaiah, man, they completely swapped minutes from the last game. If you looked, Mitchell had those same minutes, and both players really dominated Embiid, got him tired. And then Isaiah got the game-winning block because Maxey would have scored on that layup attempt. I mean, give all the flowers to Hartenstein, man. This team is special. Probably my favorite moment as a Knicks fan, at least the last 20 years, man. What a game. I'll be remembering this one for the rest of my life. Let's go Knicks, baby.
Wow.
Yeah, how about Mitch in game one hitting those two fucking free throws at the end of the game? And then, yeah, Hartenstein coming up huge at the end of game two. They're like, if one's not having a good game, the other guy is dominating.
Look, Devin has a right to be upset about what's going to happen next season when it's most likely that the Knicks aren't going to be able to keep these two. But you have to just relish this time right now when the Knicks clearly have the best tandem center in the entire NBA. There's not a better two-man center rotation on any other team than what the Knicks have. So just enjoy that right now, you know, and as long as this thing's going to last. I don't even think it's close.
I mean, have you heard that somewhere, or you're just saying that?
I've heard other people say it too.
Because
not
well,
in a
what
while,
about,
but you're seeing it now.
Because you think they both need to be good. It can't be like Jokic and whoever the fuck his backup is being
no,
a better
because
tandem.
Because then it's not the tandem. This okay. is the best tandem.
So they both have to be pretty good.
Yes.
One can't be an MVP. And the other suck.
No.
And the other guy can't. No.
No, we're not adding up their two individual points together.
Because to come if you're together, they make like an MVP level player, you know, numbers wise. Actually, no, they don't.
No.
They still don't.
No, but come on, you know what I'm saying. I mean, the way that Hartenstein's been playing, you know what we get out of Hartenstein when he's playing at his best because he was doing it all season long. And you know what you get out of Mitch when he is at his best, because we saw it the first 20 games before he went out, and then we saw it in game one when he's finally healthy.
Yeah.
All right, last one.
Impact in the
game.
Well,
it's Merzhim. Well, fellas, it's been like a day. I'm just now starting to fucking calm down after that fucking win. The greatest fucking win I've ever seen. I mean, and I go back, man. I saw that LJ 4-point play. I saw the Allen Houston roll in on the last shot. I remember all of it, and fucking, God damn it, man! I went fucking nuts after that shit happened. I couldn't even fucking. It was fucking. I thought we were sunk. I was just like, ah, fuck this. I was like, they fucking figured us out, man. They shut down Brunson. Now we're fucked. We're going to lose to these shitbirds. And then fucking boom, boom, boom. It was like, what? Draw drop. What? What the fuck? Just what the fuck? I mean, this is fucking the shit. We're all going to remember this game for a long, 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 long fucking time, man. This is going to go down to the annals as one of the biggest fucking, as just fucking, and just a special team, a special year. So fucking, fuck yeah, man. Fuck yeah.
Holy shit. Great call, Murder Jim. We got so carried away with the game that I forgot. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. From MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. Blandy, since we're late, about, I don't know, 40 minutes on this ad.
Yeah.
You just pile in the drops. All right, the money drops. Let's give them some extra drops. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every spot out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action.
Show me the money!
Bet online where the game starts. Why didn't they put the promo code in here? What's the promo code usually?
Bleav. BLEAV.
There you go. 33 mesh one.
You got to do the other one, too?
What? No, there's no more. Don't mention the other one.
Oh.
Blandy, play that. Would you have an interview you want to play?
Yeah, it's just, you know, Hart has a tendency to sneak food. Did you either of you see this? Into the
I didn't watch
you know,
it,
the post-game
but I saw
pressers.
A tweet about it.
So it was DiVincenzo, it was Brunson, and it was Josh Hart. And Brunson was talking, and Josh Hart decided that it was time for him to take out a box of Mike and Ike's from his inside his jacket and chow down on some Mike and Ike's. So it's funny watching it too, because the look on Brunson's face is perfect.
Oh, there was before you play that. There was a story a few weeks ago that at Villanova, they didn't allow them to eat candy. They had a very strict diet, and he would have to sneak Mike and Ike's in, like not in a box, but just in his pocket. So yeah, he's got a big thing for Mike and Ike's.
All right, so here we go.
Was just a little bit easier. And so I think that molded us to be where we are today. But
that's him eating Mike and Ike's? The sound?
That's the box. Sorry. The bouncing and, around the box. Annoying.
Sorry.
He just apologized.
Annoying candy.
Yeah, it helped. It helped.
He does it. Brunson looks at him and he like laughs and he's like, sorry. And then they go back to Brunson and Brunson's like, sorry. And he shakes his head. But all that,
that
was just the Mike and Ike's pouring out of the box. That's what it is.
Was just a little bit easier. And so I think that molded us to be where we are today, both on and off the court.
Sorry.
Yeah, it'll
help. You guys have to put words.
No,
he didn't give a shit. He just kept dumping them.
Such a loud candy.
He could do whatever the fuck he wants, man. He could do whatever he wants.
Yes, he can.
It was
those three.
Funny.
That 1-3 hit at the end of game one. Where he like, it almost looked like he jumped up in the air and then shifted his whole body in the air and then shot it.
Yeah, and did like a split, his legs, you know, spread apart.
He like moved position in the air somehow and hit that fucking unreal.
Unbelievable, man. It's been
of course, after that game and after, did you see the tweets by Overtime about us after that game?
Yes, after game one, yeah.
Like they said something about Josh Hart after he hit that three acting like it was like a NBA final game.
Oh, yeah, did they say were that? Ripping, I saw them say that shit
but
about
they were
the fans.
Ripping him for just his reaction. Oh, no, they posted a GIF
give me
of
a break.
Like, I don't know, just making fun of how excited he was. Give me a fucking break. Can we not?
What are you talking about? People get
no
excited like
what
that?
We get
like
critiqued.
In a regular season game.
Yeah. Come on.
So fucking annoying.
And he probably surprised himself. He hit his 4-3. Come on.
Man, game three on Thursday. Are we going to, what's going to happen there? Predictions. I'm not fucking
doing
that.
Oh, I don't know,
fuck
Craig.
That. Not predicting anything.
No.
Embiid's going to be rested now 3 days? You don't know what's going to happen.
All right, y'all hear that music. And you're hearing it without any clicking. Well, no, I always put that music in, so let's face it.
Yeah.
All right, well, it is time for the news with Blanderson Hooper.
All right, so I'm just starting right off.
Yeah, you don't have to
off.
Say you're starting right off. You just go.
Jonte Porter.
Is he ever
going to
learn, Barry?
No, I like to do it just to annoy you.
Gotcha.
Jonte Porter, younger brother of Michael Porter Jr., has been banned forever from the NBA by David Silver. They did an investigation. You know, we talked about that a few weeks ago about some really weird stuff that was going on. He disclosed apparently confidential information about his own health status to an individual he knew to be a better.
I mean, does his health status... because he would come out of the game early? Is that what it is?
Yes, he would have them bet on the unders, plays. And then he would say something was wrong. There was an 80,000, one of these people that he spoke to placed an $80,000 parlay prop bet with an online sports book to win $1.1 million. And it got flagged by the sports book because why wouldn't it? I mean, who's putting 80 grand down on a Jonte Porter bet? But it happened a number of times. Says from January through March, he placed at least 13 bets on NBA games using an associate's online betting account, ranging from $15 to $22,000. They were brought to the NBA's attention by the sports books. They did the investigation, and he has gone for good. I mean, obviously, he could probably live off of his brother's money. I know his brother said something recently about
what he said. You don't know.
I didn't care enough to see what Michael Porter Jr. said about him.
Yeah, curious if he was defending him or. I am.
Let's see. I know it was just the other day. Let's see. He breaks his silence. He said some bad and sad stuff happening with a couple of my brothers, but I've got, you know, 15, 16 more brothers in here. I knew I had to be here for them. That's it.
Oh, okay. Well,
okay.
You're right. Yourself on the back.
Asking him what he said. What the fuck is that?
we know that the NBA
you're so
announced
strong,
their,
Michael Porter Jr. through all this.
What is it?
Finalists
even mean?
For meaning like he's got stuff going on with his family, but like he's also got stuff going on with the team, and he's dedicated to the team and winning another championship, and that's what he's talking about.
He's so brave.
He's got stuff going on with his family. His brother's stealing money.
So, Barry, you mentioned before that Tyrese Maxey won the Most Improved Player Award, right? That was announced tonight?
Yep.
Do you want to hear the finalists for the other awards? Or are you
no,
not
interested.
Interested.
Yeah, of course. Just fucking do them.
All right, so Clutch Player of the Year, which is a stupid award. Steph Curry, DeMar DeRozan, and SGA. Defensive Player of the Year, Bam Adebayo, Rudy Gobert, and Victor Wembanyama. Most Valuable Player, Luka, SGA and Jokic, who's expected to win his third. Rookie of the Year is Chet Holmgren, Brandon Miller, and Victor Wembanyama. Sixth man, Malik Monk, Bobby Portis Jr., Naz Reid. And Coach of the Year, Mark Daniel, Chris Finch, and Jamal Mosley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the last thing. I don't know if you saw this. The Athletic every year does an anonymous player poll.
Oh, this fucking thing. Yeah, okay, we saw it.
Yeah. Who's the MVP? That sort of stuff. Who's the best defender? But I just want to bring up, because for the second consecutive year, who is the coach you would least like to play for? The winner by a large margin this year, as was last year, was Tom Thibodeau.
So and weird. Are you going to read Perkins' tweet?
And
do you have that?
We've got right. Yes, that's, I will read. Nice. I will read that. It says, "Which current coach, aside from your own, would you least want to play for?" 46.8% of the vote. Next closest was Doc Rivers with 9.1%
wow.
of the vote.
Meanwhile, yeah. I mean, his players praise him.
Last year, he was 29.1% of Houston Steven Silas. You got quotes in here. "I'm too old for those practices. He's playing everyone 48 minutes, which is not accurate. It's just, it's not true at all. Josh Hart, if you saw, I think it was yesterday after the game, said all the guys on the team would run through a wall for tips. Yeah. That's how much they all trust him and love him. And yeah, so here's
I mean, unless they're just saying that now because they're on the team and they're winning. I mean, it's probably right. It's players' poll. It's not like a fan poll.
Kendrick Perkins, who's like been the Knicks' biggest cheerleader in the media over the last couple of months, tweeted out last night at 10:44. And another thing before I move on, all those soft-ass players that said they wouldn't want to play for Tibbs, guess what? Tibbs don't want to coach y'all cupcake asses either. Carry on. Which is probably
someone else
true.
I don't think a famous person had a good tweet that I thought was good saying that, yeah, most of the NBA is players that don't really want to put in 100% effort all the time and give everything they have and devote that much to this. And I think that's true. The star players do. But the Knicks we're lucky to have a group of guys like that, that they're all literally willing to do whatever it takes and run through a wall for Tibbs. That's not, most of the NBA is not like that. We're lucky to have
these
guys.
Well, again, I mean, all these guys that you're looking at are all overachievers. They're, you know, all guys that had to kind of fight and claw their way. I mean, Hartenstein, it took him years to get a starting role, and he finally did 2 years ago with LA Clippers, and, you know, now he's got the steady role here. Deuce McBride, you know, was getting, you know, a couple of minutes here, a couple of minutes there. He's a tiny guy. He's known for his defense and nothing else, and he worked his way to a huge, important role on this team. Brunson, all he's been trying to do is prove himself. through his entire career. Anunoby, you know, is resting on, you know, just the fact that he's such a savvy player. He can knock down the three, his defense, but he's not a superstar. And he knows that that defensive edge is what, you know, makes him so coveted. So he's always putting it all out there. You know, DiVincenzo, he wasn't a lottery pick. Mitchell Robinson, fucking second to last pick of the draft. All he's been doing is working hard and getting himself right. And look how far he's come. The entire team is made up of this specific DNA. And it's really like having a sixth man out on the court, the advantage that it's giving them.
Excellent points.
And that's the way the basketball bounces.
Who's the highest draft pick we have on this team, Barry? Do you know?
Julius Randle.
Oh, right. What was he, like five?
LA,
but he's not even on this team right now. What
10,
about this
I don't know what number.
Playoff team? Right. Is it OG?
I think DiVincenzo, I think, was 17.
Okay, OG I looked up was 23rd. That's unbelievable. And
yeah, Stefan Bondi actually had an article basically just that. I didn't read it, but it came out today. But it was the same point I've been thinking about.
All right, well, that's going to do for today's show, guys. Game 3, Thursday. Barry, where can everyone call us when we either win or lose? We'll talk to you. We'll try to pick you up after losses, but hopefully we'll be celebrating with you after a Game 3 win.
Yep. 516-336-3741. That's 516-336-3741.
516-33, mesh 1. That's for Devin, Barry. What else, Jay? What's the upcoming schedule? We just did it.
Thursday night
game.
Yeah,
there you go. Is that Thursday on MSG? Can we settle that now?
I don't have any idea.
More importantly, is Mike Breen calling the game somewhere?
I hope so. Let's see. Let me see when the game.
So I had a really weird day today.
It says it's on TNT and
True
TV. So I don't know if it's also on MSG or not.
Before we sign off, I had a really weird day.
You're gonna talk about what we got a tease of before we started recording? Oh
yeah. So that was a work story. But let me just first tell you this thing, because this I had never heard before. But there was a 94-year-old man in the store today with his daughter, and they were talking about. She has a pet rooster.
Oh.
But it's like literally a pet that lives in her house. And they named their rooster Bento. You know why they named it Bento? Because it has a bent toe.
Oh.
It has a bent toe.
I thought you were going to say Bento Cox or something. it's a Bento.
So,
okay.
So we asked her, you know, so where does it sleep? In a cage? And she said, no, he sleeps with me in my bed.
Okay.
I sleep with my rooster. And she showed a picture of her holding
this,
the rooster
is this,
on her chair
is this, how
inside
old is this
the house.
Daughter? He's 94,
I mean,
so
she's
got to
be like
80?
60. Yeah, she's got to be like in her 60s, late 60s.
Huh.
And this just isn't weird, just an elaborate cock joke. This is
No, this is a weird day. I had a lot of weird people.
Not a cock
so
joke.
So is that it, or is there more?
Interesting people. That's about it. And you know, we didn't even know if it was legal to own a rooster, but apparently she said as long as you get it taken to the veterinarian, then you can have a rooster live with you.
Okay.
You think
after
that rooster,
that,
like,
later in the day,
up in the morning?
It must, right? That's what they do. That's their whole thing.
Like right next to her in the bed.
Yeah. And now if you look closely at my upper lip, you'll see a split cut open. I don't know if this is black and blue yet, but it's bruised, like right around my eye socket. And that's because I face planted a lawnmower at work today. Somebody bought a big 30-inch commercial heavy-duty mower, and they lived close by, and I said that we would deliver it. So I got the ramps out for the van, and I went to wheel this huge mower up the van. And as soon as the front end of the mower, which is where all the weight is, went up the wheels, I was still putting so much pressure down on the handles that they just pushed down to the floor. I couldn't brace myself, and my face just smashed right into the handle of that mower.
Wow.
Cut my lip open. banged my head, like, fortunately, like, above my eye, like, right where my eyebrow runs through, and then also, like, the bottom portion. Bang! Or my upper cheek.
Well, another close call for Barry at work.
Yeah.
Could you have died from that, you think? Could your face have hit the cement?
It could have hit the cement, sure. Yeah, the handle
kind
stopped
of lucky. It,
yeah.
It did just hit the handle.
Man, did this dude just did this?
Yeah, I mean, there could have been something pointy or something like that sticking out of the handle that could have went right through my eye.
You're doing too much over there at that job, Barry. Why are you doing work like that?
Much, right?
You run the place. Just tell someone else to do it. Too old for that.
I could have. I very well could have.
You got to take care of yourself. We're getting old, man. Let somebody else get hurt. Get the young kids to do that. Care about you. All right, well.
Speaking of old, you know who could still play? Kyle Lowry can still fucking play.
Is he going to play in the next game?
Old.
He kind
That's
of
impressive.
Got hobbled at the end of that game. Did you see him?
He did get hobbled, but he's got a lot of pudge to absorb it. A
lot of pudge.
Absorb those falls.
All right, well, until next time, it is a hard
Knicks
life.
The Hart, back to Brunson. Brunson double team, splits the defense. Lowry takes it away, picked up by DiVincenzo. 8 on the 24, DiVincenzo, corner to Brunson. Sidestep, three-pointer, shot, it's good! Took the bounce and went in. Two-point game. Ball knocked loose, and Maxi gets knocked down. Hart takes it away, out top to DiVincenzo, his shot won't go. Hartenstein the rebound. Hartenstein gets it out to Ananobi. DiVincenzo a three. Bang! Bang! Knicks take a one-point lead with 13 seconds remaining.
It's a Hard Knicks Live.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.